Well, you know, first of all, I want to start by making sure that I acknowledge and express my appreciation to our college scouting staff, our pro-scouting staff, our coaches who've put in a lot of time. They've watched a lot of tape. They've written a lot of reports in order to get us prepared for Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. And you know, I just can't express how much I appreciate those guys, the work they do, and how good they are at their jobs. And it certainly makes my job and Sean's job much easier because of the work that they do. With that, you guys know how I feel about this session, so
let's get going. The 2 week delay. A lot of people have said it's not necessary. How do you feel? How do you think the organization is?
Well, this is a good question. And look, I don't think we like it, and yet I can't really point to anything and say this is why we don't like it. I don't like the idea of our scouts and our people missing out on some Mother's Day activities on Sunday because they're here and not at their homes for those guys that live outside of New Orleans. So that's the one thing that I could say about this particular weekend. But in terms of extra time, yeah, I don't really like it. But there's nothing I can point to and say this is exactly why I don't like it.
In what ways is this year's draft considered deeper than those in the past?
I don't know that it is, except that it feels a little deeper. I think partly because of the number of juniors that are in this draft that have declared. Other than that, you know, I kind of look at it as just another year, same type of thing. I mean, obviously there's different positions of strength, but, you know, every year there are positions that are stronger than others, and so it's no different in that regard.
How hard is it at 27 to kind of, I guess, go through dry runs and test runs, given the fact you are so late in the draft?
Yeah, it's certainly more difficult than it is if you're at 5 or 6. But, you know, we have a pretty good idea of who the first, 12 or 15 guys that are going to come off the board. We have no idea what order, obviously, and there's always a surprise or two. But we have a pretty good idea of the first half, I would call it. And then who knows? You know, that part is very difficult. So we have to be prepared for, any and all scenarios.
Vicki, you have a feeling that this first round is going to have more draft, more trades than past years. Are you kind of getting that feeling?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't surprise me just because of all the talk about trades, and yet, there's talk every year about trades, and then, the majority of them don't happen. I don't have a feel one way or the other whether or not it's going to be more active or not.
Is there a position group you're looking at saying, look, we would really like to leave this draft with X, Y, and Z?
Yes.
Would you like to reveal it?
No.
Are we far off in the media in what we've been saying?
I
could be those.
Good question. To be honest with you, I haven't really followed very many of the stories that are out there. I just haven't had time to do that. So I can't answer that question, and I wouldn't anyway.
Trying.
How much, Mickey, personally, do you enjoy this weekend, building the team, bringing young talent in?
Well, look, I enjoy the process from beginning to end. And a large part of that has to do with, the people that I work with. I enjoy the people on our staff. I respect their opinions, and we have a lot of guys that are willing to give them, and that's the way it should be. And so, look, I enjoy the entire process from beginning to end, including the college free agent process after the draft.
Mickey, approximately how many prospects do you think visited?
We used 29 out of our 30 visits, if I recall correctly. And then we had our local pro day, which we had, between 40 and 50 guys that were present. So, and then we had, our 60 interviews at the Combine, and we had interviews at the Senior Bowl, and we had independent interviews both at the Combine and Senior Bowl. So we've had an opportunity to talk to, really every draftable player that we have on our board. But you start this process, there's 3,000 names, and we're whittling that down to, 120 or 130 on our draftable front board, and then we're trying to whittle that down to the 20 or 30 that, we'd really like to have for the Saints. So it's a pretty extensive process.
Nick, you talk a little bit about you guys have been on free agents, undrafted free agents in the past. How much time is going into guys who you kind of have a feeling is not going to get drafted, and kind of do a homework on that?
Yeah, we pay attention to that, but really that begins with an area scout who has a belief in a player who he doesn't think is going to get drafted, and yet has one or two or three particular traits that give him an opportunity to be successful in the NFL. And so, at the end of the draft, our guys are standing on the table for, a certain group of players. And I think we do a good job of recruiting those players. We've had, a history of success. We can point to a number of guys on our team that have been given the opportunity by our coaches, regardless of how they got here, to be successful, and I think that resonates with the agents and the players that are undrafted.
What's been the key so far since 06? Were you and Sean, Rick, Ryan Pace, to make this work? You guys have been either right at the top of draft choices that have hit, and it's been great fit. What have you looked at as been the key to making that work?
Well, I think that's communication between the coaching staff and our personnel department, and being on the same page as to what we're looking for. I think that's ultimately the key. And then, look, our coaches do a great job of developing players, recognizing talent, and being able to utilize, the skills that our guys have and putting them in positions to be successful. So it's a combination of a lot of things.
Mickey, you have a couple of questions to follow up on what we just talked about, the undrafted free agent rookies. Last year you had six of them on your roster when the season began. You had two on the practice squad. This year, without a seventh-round draft choice, does that give you even more time to explore that area and to be more aggressive if presumably you don't have to pay attention to your own pick in the seventh round?
Maybe a little bit, not a lot. I mean, we pay a lot of attention to, the undrafted free agent pool. We talk about it every night, once the draft begins. Starting after tomorrow night, we'll have a discussion about, hey, who do we think is going to end up undrafted? We have a board with a lot of names on it, that players that we don't think will be drafted yet could get drafted. And, what those targets are, how we're going to approach those guys after the draft. So we have a plan for it. We have a system that's worked for us. And, we'll do it again.
As I understand it, every team has a pool of $80,000 to sign undrafted free agents.
Right.
So without that impacting your salary cap, does that help a team like you that would be up against the salary cap, presumably, so that you don't get outbid for certain players? Is everybody playing with a level playing field now?
Well, it's we do have $80,000 and change that we can spend in signing bonuses on those players. That's correct, and it does count against the cap. But everybody has the same amount. So ultimately, it depends upon how you parcel that money out. We could have one guy for $80,000, or we could have 16 guys for $5,000 each. And so each team does it a little differently. We've done it a little differently every year, kind of depending upon, what we think of a particular player. So, our goal typically is to sign between 10 and 15 of those guys to our, to our roster, and we'll get that done after the draft.
What went into the decision not to give Ingram that 50-year extension?
Yeah, that's a financial decision. The amount of the tender versus what, the market value for running backs has been. We like Mark. I talked to Mark before we made that decision. Told him it wasn't reflective on what we thought about him. It was just a business decision, financial decision. We have high expectations for him, and I hope he has a great year.
Since 2007, every first-round pick except one has been on defense. Is that just a coincidence, or...?
Well, it's a coincidence that you know, over the last, what is it, 7 years that it's been, you know, one on offense. That's a coincidence. But look, we've had a successful offense and we struggled on defense at times. So obviously, when you go into the draft, you know, and you have one side of the ball that's struggling over another, then you tend to look to that side of the ball. So in that sense, it wasn't a coincidence.
McGinn, along those lines, I've seen some people say, well, look at their tendencies under Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. They haven't drafted X amount of offensive linemen and receivers. Has it actually kind of shifted to where you actually now have so much more young talent on defense and sort of older players on offense? It's sort of shifted than what you've looked at on your roster in years past?
You know, we don't look at it that way. I wouldn't say that we look at it that way. Obviously, we pay attention to, you know, the composition of our team, but, you know, I've seen a couple things about the age of our offense. I'm not concerned about the age of our offense. I'm concerned about the performance of our offense, and it's been pretty darn good. So if you're asking me, am I going to trade our offense for a younger one, no, we're not.
Well, I guess, I mean, the reason you haven't maybe drafted offensive linemen in the first round, you've had so many, you know, good offensive linemen in their prime. I mean, are those things that change over time?
Certainly they change. Absolutely, they change. And yet, you know, we're always in this business of trying to select the best player available to us. It could be that there wasn't an offensive lineman that we deemed, you know, worthy of the pick at the time that we selected. So there's a lot of variables there, not just, you know, what we perceive we need on offense or defense.
And what about the philosophy behind? You've obviously been one of the most aggressive teams in trading up or down or veteran players. Is that something you feel about trying to get the maximum value out of each pick, that it's worth it to explore every trade opportunity in any direction?
Well, you know, I think most of the time, you know, teams in general, they understand the value of a pick. So it's more about, hey, is there a player that we perceive, hey, we really want this player, it's a great fit for us, and let's go get them, as long as we're trading, you know, the right value. So I don't ever think that it's that, you know, we're not trying to steal somebody's pick or you know, have a one-sided trade, for example. It's more about targeting a player that we feel can help us either in the short run or the long run, that, you know, that's a Saints fit. You know, we've done that.
Would you discuss what it might cost you or what it might take to move in either direction of the 27th pick?
Well, that would take a long time because, you know, for every pick that you move, for every slot that you move, the cost is differently. But, look, we have a 15-year history of you know, every trade that's been made in the draft. And so we have a pretty good sense of, hey, if we move 10 spots forward, what that costs. If we move 8 spots back, what we should get. We have a real good sense of that. And, you know, we'll have discussions. I'll have discussions with some of my counterparts around the league, you know, in front of us, behind us, just to kind of set the table, whether or not it's a possibility. But ultimately, it's not until, you know, you're on the clock that you're making those kinds of decisions. But look, both sides, both ends of the phone call have a real good idea what the value is. So it's really not that hard. It's just a matter of, do you want to make a trade?
A lot of people think sitting at 27 with people that are behind you, you'll have a lot of activity as far as people wanting to move back into the first round to select perhaps a quarterback that they passed on earlier in the first round. Have you had many of those discussions yet? Could you say there's been more discussion at this point, day away from the draft, than usual about moving back from 27 given the scenario?
No, I it hasn't been. I wouldn't say it's been more or less. It's typical conversation before the draft is, hey, if you're interested in moving up, we might be interested in moving back, and vice versa. You know, you just get those calls. We're not getting a lot of specific, you know, trade opportunities right now, and that's not unusual. So I wouldn't say that it's any heavier than it's ever been.
Would you think the new CBA would have any effect on teams wanting to trade back into the first round to perhaps lock up a player for 5 years versus getting that same player at the beginning of the second and maybe only being able to have them under contract for 4 years?
I don't think so. I don't think of it in those terms. I can't speak as to what other teams, how the other teams view that, but I don't think of it in terms of that extra year at all. So I don't think that's affected, you know, the trade scenarios. I do think that particularly at the top of the draft, with the way the rookie contracts work now, I think that does open up more trade possibilities than we had in the past. But I don't perceive that at the end of the first round.
The 2 weeks extra, does that give you a little bit extra time medical-wise? Because I think this sort of time, certain coaches get involved or scouts say, hey, listen, let's go back and take a look at this guy who maybe had a medical problem. Has that been part of the process the last couple of weeks with the extended time?
Well, look, that's always been part of the process. I don't know that the extra time's been more valuable, for that reason. I wouldn't say we have, our doctors and the medical teams for all the clubs do a great job of providing us with really, I think, accurate medical information that we have, and plenty of time for the draft. If it had been at its normal time or now. Obviously, it gave us some time to go to Las Vegas, so we didn't use it for that medical purpose.
When you talked about the college free agents, and you talked about that process, how do you all determine who makes the call to the particular guy? Do you all have, like, an assigned coach
we do.
Or scout? Or?
We do. We have a system that actually Kai Harley's kind of the chief, what would you call it? The guy that directs traffic, so to speak. And so, look, we're having a number of guys at every position because we have positions to fill, right, slots to fill. We may have two corners, three receivers, two offensive linemen. And so we have it assigned so that, we're making five or six contacts at a particular position, but we only have two slots available because of the roster limitations. So we've got to manage that properly. We have a priority of guys, the order that we want them, and yet sometimes you have an agreement with your fourth-rated guy, and the first and second haven't decided yet. Well, you got to take the fourth because we don't want to be left empty-handed. So, it's a process that has to be managed, and Kai and Ryan Pace and Rick Reipers do a great job of doing that. Everyone's involved. Their coaches are involved. Their scouts are involved. I'm involved, at every level, whether that's recruiting, negotiating, or identifying the players.
Could you say, do you remember the most you ever paid for signing bonus? Does it ever get up to $40,000?
Yes. Well, it did when I was in Seattle.
Really?
And that was a long time ago, yeah. So there's been, that's more difficult to do now with this $80,000 limit we have. But before, when we didn't have a limit, it could get up there pretty significantly.
You referenced jokingly the trip last weekend. Do you think that was a good break to get everybody away and kind of refocus and maybe not talk about the draft with the extra weeks and everything?
Well, look, that's a trip, Sean and I have done with our staff every year, and we've always done it on this weekend. And so it just happened that the draft, in years past, that trip was after the draft, and this year, because of the time schedule, it ended up being before. So it had absolutely nothing to do with the draft.
Now, Mickey, looking at the draft, and the commissioner saying he wanted to keep it at this time, what is your opinion about taking the draft on the road and selling that in a different city? Is it a good idea, a bad idea?
I don't know that I have an opinion about it because, look, that's not going to change what I do. Or what, we're going to be here. So, look, if it's good for the league and brings positive attention and gives another city a chance to host, then look, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm for it. But as far as what we do here, it won't impact it at all.
Mickey, you've been able to operate with a tight salary cap for much of this off season. How difficult has that been? And then secondly, will that affect the way that you enter the draft? Might it prevent you from trading back to acquire more picks because of your salary situation?
No, it wouldn't do that. Obviously we've been tight against the cap for a number of years now. We're used to operating in that environment. And, look, I'm glad we're operating in that environment because that means we have a good team and we have good players. And so we're used to it. And, look, part of each of our off season is to get us to the point where it doesn't impact what we do in the draft, and so we're at that point.
Thank you. kind of seems like there's a trend, you know, the big tight end teams kind of want to go get big receivers. You kind of see it on the opposite end now. Teams maybe one at corner or in the defensive back in general, maybe a bigger DB than perhaps in years past because to combat some of that size?
Well, I think part of that has to do with the success that Seattle had with the bigger corners. So we're a copycat league, and you know, you look for those guys. But, you know, they're rare. They're hard to find. Seattle's done a great job of identifying some guys that are maybe outside the box, the normal box of physical traits at that position, and they've been very successful with it. But I think they've got some rare some rare talents, in Richard Sherman and before that Browner. We'd like to have that. I think everyone would, but there's not that many guys that at that size that play that position effectively.
Mickey, you haven't made a lot of deals to, I guess, stockpile picks or add picks, and partly because of other reasons, you've only had five or six each year. Is it something about having a complete veteran roster that allows you to not need seven or eight draft picks and to be comfortable with five or six, or to make some of those trades maybe for players or moving up in the draft?
Well, you know, we need them. I wouldn't say that we don't need them. It's just that we've had opportunities to trade oftentimes later round picks for, you know, players that can have more of an immediate and shorter term impact, and we've done that. Look, we know there's a cost to that, obviously. In terms of having a younger player that may be a special teams guy for you for a few years and develop into a starter. But I think, look, part of our confidence in trading away some of those later picks is the success that we've had in the college free agent market. So, as was pointed out, we had six guys on our team last year. And so in a lot of ways, I look at those guys as our later round picks. And again, if we continue to have success doing that, then it gives us a little more freedom to trade away a sixth or a seventh round pick and either move up or trade for a veteran player.
Mickey, does Drew Brees still remain a possible option if you need to restructure to accumulate more cap room? Is he still out there as a viable option?
Sure, absolutely. But we've got a lot of guys, not a lot of guys. We've got some guys in that category that we can restructure.
Would he be a priority? I guess it depends on who the player or players might be that you're trying to get.
Well, I would say this. I'm trying to avoid, restructures, and pushing off salary cap into future years. I'm trying to avoid that. We've done some of it, and look, there's good reason to do it, but we're trying to avoid doing that if we can.
Speaking of contracts, any update on Jimmy Graham?
There's no update on Jimmy Graham.
With Tampa Bay and Carolina, Atlanta has done the offseason additions. How much does that play into how you're going to approach the draft? And does that play much into that?
No, not really. We're focused on our own team. We are aware of what they're doing, and we pay attention to what they're doing, but it doesn't necessarily impact how we approach our team.
Maybe I think a lot of fans are concerned that they don't see the heir apparent to Drew Brees on this team, given his age. When does that day arrive? Is it any time in the near future? Does it just depend on Drew's play? All of a sudden you say to yourself, okay, now we need to get something.
Look, we pay attention to that because, you want to have, somebody in the wings that can take over and play for you. But we like what Luke has done for us as a backup. We like, we like this prospect, Ryan Griffin. But we're always keeping an eye on that. I wouldn't say that it's at the forefront of our minds, and yet, look, we recognize, Drew's age and but if you talk to Drew, he's going to play for a lot longer, so that's encouraging.
Have you built the offseason thinking that there are certain teams that you have to be able to match up against in order to make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, look, obviously Seattle's the Super Bowl champion, and we lost to them twice this season, so we've got to find a way to be able to compete with them. I think the best way for us would be to get home field advantage and have them play at in our dome. But look, there's a number of really good teams in the NFC, San Francisco and even in our own division, Carolina, Atlanta, Philadelphia. So we've got to pay attention to all of them. But in terms of, hey, one specific team, I wouldn't say that we gear ourselves towards one specific team.
You have time for one or two more.
You have your rookies from last year, your sophomore class, so to speak. Do you feel like you have as many sophomores in prominent positions or plans for second-year guys as you can ever remember, whether it's starters or key backups that these guys have already started playing big roles for you?
I don't know, because I haven't really thought about it in that term. I do think this, though. Oftentimes, we have these expectations for rookies, and we judge them based upon their first-year contributions. More often than not, though, there's a big leap between year one and year two. So we got great contributions from a number of rookies last year, and yet I just based upon history, expect more from those guys this year than we got a year ago. I think there's a big leap to be made, and so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
When information comes out days before the draft on certain players, reports of failed drug tests, how much does that affect how you view these certain players?
Well, look, most of the information that the media gets, we already have. So I don't know that it's. There's not really much of an impact because we already have that information. Sometimes there's something that comes out that we don't know, and yeah, obviously we've got to factor that in.
Hey, Mickey, at the center position, how realistic is it for a rookie to come in and be able to play right away with all the line calls they have to make and everything they have to learn, and as well as in terms of bringing in a free agent, I wonder, people talk about Jonathan Goodman. Can you address those two issues?
Well, I do think it is difficult, and yet it's happened. We had LaCharles Bentley, although LaCharles might have played guard his first year, as I recall. So it has happened. Obviously, when you're drafting a center, intelligence, mental quickness, those are the things that, you want to make sure you're high on before you draft a guy to play that position. So he can definitely play it. I think for us, with two veteran guards in Ben and Jari, it's going to make it easier for a center. With a quarterback like Drew, who does a lot of the identifications and makes a lot of the calls, that makes it easier. So it's definitely possible. Probably a little easier with our team than some others.
Nick, with Sproles gone, do you see a need to try to upgrade the return game, be it in the draft or continued free agency?
We've got some candidates. Team, we've got some candidates on our current roster, and yet I would say that's accurate. Yeah, we'd love to improve ourselves in that area.